Morning, welcome. Can you hear me? Yeah, good. Okay, some nods. So this morning, we, as a part of our Being Church series, we're going to be thinking about mission this morning. And throughout this series, we're going to be looking at how God put together and how God grew the early church as described in the book of Acts. Last week, and if you have a look on our podcast, you'll be able to have a listen if you'd like to the first talk in the series. But last week, Alex started us off by considering worship. What it looks like to worship. What it looks like to worship God with passion and with expectation. And he challenged us to think about worship in terms of a whole lifestyle. Because it's through a lifestyle of worship that we're able to demonstrate the goodness of God to those around us. And this morning, we're going to move on from that place, and we're going to look at mission. Because actually, mission comes out of worship. And what we're going to discover this morning is we're going to discover that we are all called to mission. Because if you want to put it simply, if you want to boil it right down to what we want to see happen, to what mission is all about, it's simply this. It is about extending God's kingdom everywhere and in every way. And we're all somewhere and we're all surrounded. And as we move through the series, it's going to be very clear, I hope, that we are the church. We don't go to church. We are part of the church. We are the church. God's people are his church. And that as we respond to Jesus and as we learn to live as he's called us to live, then we both become his church and we grow his church. But before I go any further, I'm just going to pray because I really want God to speak to us this morning. And I think there's some particular things that I would love to see him impress on our hearts. Father God, we welcome you this morning, and I pray that you would teach us more through this series about being your church, what it looks like to be a church. I pray that you would help us develop more and more of the characteristics of Jesus in our own lives. I pray that you would help us extend your kingdom. And that as we do that, we would be able to embrace diversity and difference in a way that we could make Jesus known in any and every context that we find ourselves in. Amen. So where are we going this morning? Well, firstly, I'm going to look briefly at the early church, at how they responded to the Holy Spirit, and the lifestyle that the guys in the early church developed. Why am I going to look at that? Because I love it. Because I love the things I see that they did and the way they did life. And then we're going to turn our attention to what mission looks like. What do I mean by mission? We're going to think about the importance of integrity. That's being who you say you are and doing the things you say you do. And we're going to think about putting love into action. Again, it's not the talk, but it's actually what we do. And we're going to consider the opportunities that diversity and difference bring. Before we hear a few examples of God at work through some of our friends who are based in Mozambique, who I'm then going to interview. Some of you will no doubt recognise them from their exciting YouTube clips that we occasionally play. And at the end, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for them, and we're going to pray for each other. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives. So let's start then by looking at the early church. Alex reminded us last week that it was Jesus who declared that he would build his church. Jesus would do that. He would build his church, and that church is us. And Jesus quite clearly said he would begin to build the church through the apostles, through his people, and in particular, one of the key guys called Peter. In Matthew 16, this is what Jesus says to Peter. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. And this is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. A church so expansive. God is planning a big church. His church has capacity for anyone and everyone. God's plan is, and always has been, to build his church through his people and of his people. And the book of Acts begins soon after Jesus ascended back to heaven. And we see the Holy Spirit descending on a number of believers, and with it, the miraculous. If you haven't read that bit in Acts, read the beginning of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2. There were visible flames. There was an eruption of language. The prophetic was at work. Amazing things suddenly took place when the Holy Spirit came. And it was in that setting, and actually in response to some of the skepticism of those who were watching, that Peter stood up and gave his first sermon. This is exactly what Jesus said would happen, says Peter. That's how he starts. Jesus said this would happen. We should expect prophecy. We should expect miracles and signs and wonders, he says to the people. He's beginning to explain to them what's happening. And then he goes on and he talks through the gospel. He tells them about the person of Jesus, who he was, what he did, and what that means. Peter's first sermon, the first time that the gospel was explained at large. So how did the church respond? Well, we're going through chronologically, and if we look then at our passage for the series, which comes from the end of Acts, we will see. So I'm going to read this. It's from Acts 2, and I'm starting at verse 42. And I absolutely love this description of the new early church. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone, and God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. And all the believers were united. They shared things. They would sell pieces of property and possession and distribute the proceeds to everyone who had need. And every day they met together in the temple. They ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and they demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the result? The Lord added daily to the community those who are being saved. Notice the use of they. It starts with the believers, doesn't it? And then as we go through, we hear what they did. They did this together. These guys were not just devoted to God. No, they were devoted to each other. In this group of believers, we see worship. God is central for them. We see worship. They devoted themselves to prayer. They praise God. We see worship. We see discipleship, a devotion to becoming more like Jesus. They devoted themselves. They looked at the scriptures' teachings and they embedded them into their lives. And they encouraged each other in doing that. We see worship, discipleship. We see family. We see them serving and assisting each other, both within the community and, wait for it, we see compassion. Because they focused especially, it says, on those with need. And finally, we see mission. we see them demonstrating the goodness of God to everyone and people coming and being saved. They were all in the church and they were the church. So I want to unpick mission a little bit more. I want to ask that question. So how can we live a life? How can we live a life whereby we are extending God's kingdom everywhere and in every way? How can we do that? Well, I'd like to challenge us that there are a few important things. And the first is this, the first is character. So our first challenge is to develop character. And that is our responsibility. When we meet with Jesus, we see ourselves for who we are. And we desperately, desperately need to become more like him. So our first challenge is to develop character. Because with character comes integrity. If people can see you, if they can see your responses, they can see how you behave around gossip, what you do when someone is belittled in front of you. They will see Jesus in your life. That is character. So the first challenge is to build character. The second is to regularly put love into action. And the two go hand in hand together, because as you build your character, you will want to act in love. Because action, it demonstrates love, doesn't it? That is how we love people. I'll give you by way of a little example. I have a colleague and she is having a rotten time at the moment for many reasons. And I thought, what can I do? I thought, I know what I'll do. She loves chocolate. She loves dark chocolate. I will get her a chocolate bar. I will wrap it. I will put it on her chair because I knew she was coming in at the weekend to do some work and no one else would be there. And I will hide it. And when she comes, she will find it. She did. And that was amazing, actually. It not only did it encourage her in a very powerful way, but it opened up a great conversation for us to have about the reason I'm there for her and I really want to see her grow and support her. So we need to look for opportunities to put love into action. If you weren't here and you didn't hear the story that Sue told a couple of weeks ago, ask her. Because Sue had an amazing opportunity at the railway station to put love into action. But the third challenge is this. It is to go one step further, to always be able to offer an explanation for the things that we do and the choices that we make. And sometimes, you know, that is the sticking bit. But it is this explanation of who Jesus is and what he's done for us that brings hope. Let's look at 1 Peter 3. I love this. This is verse 15. And this is what it says in Peter. It says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord and holy." That's for you. That's about you and your relationship with Jesus, where you place Jesus, how you hold him. It goes on, but always be prepared to make a defense, to speak up, to speak about to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that you have in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. And that is why I love that verse so much. It is so powerful. It's talking about you and where you're at with Jesus. It's talking about being able to articulate that, but articulating that in a way that those around you are going to warm to. We roll it back. It comes to having a deep integrity and being a person of character, doesn't it? I'd like you to think for a moment, what drew you to church? Because whether it was last week, last year, or whether it was many, many years ago, for most of us, it will be someone and not something. for most of us. Yeah, there are some people who have a stirring in their heart and they explore things. There are some people who have powerful dreams and visions. But if you look at the reason that the majority of people come and are part of a church family, it is because someone rather than something draws them. And that someone will be someone whose character is recognised as different. Someone who's inspiring, maybe. It will be someone who has served us or looked after us or met our need in some way. I don't know if you're thinking of your person while I'm speaking. But it will be someone who has been bold enough to introduce us to the person of Jesus, but in a very gentle and very respectful way. I'd love to be that person. I don't know about you. Let me tell you some more good news. And the good news is this. We don't do this alone. Because when we begin a relationship with Jesus, we become co-workers with him. And by the nature of us both doing the same thing, us all doing the same thing, we become co-workers with each other. Many of you will know that John and Debbie Wright are our national leaders in the Vineyard movement at the moment. And on the matter of mission, this is what John Wright said. God is on a mission. He wants every single person he's created to come into a saving knowledge of his Son and to have an eternal relationship with him. That is God's mission. All ultimately for his glory. That's God. That is God's plan. But as we come into submission to God's mission, he gives us a co-mission. In other words, we are partnering with Jesus and we are partnering with each other to see the kingdom extended. So whilst we take our co-mission seriously, in the knowledge that what we do and what we say reflects Jesus, this is a serious business. And that is why I started with integrity and character. Though it is a serious business, we take encouragement that Jesus is with us and for us, and that it is Jesus' mission that we are doing. So I've just got one further thought I'd like to put to us before I invite the girls to come forward. But it's about the scope of our remit. It's about the extent of our co-mission. Again, I want to put up a little passage that I know many of you will be familiar with from Matthew 28, often called the Great Commission. It's one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples. And he said this, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of," wait for it, "all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded." Go. Go. Action. Move. Make things happen. Where? To everybody. All nations, all people. We're really lucky in the UK, in the times we live in. Not only can we travel easily throughout the country, Europe, around the world, but we actually have people from all nations living right here, right with us. The gospel is for everyone. Everyone gets to play in his church, all nations. Our co-mission involves extending the kingdom in any and every context, locally, nationally, and internationally. And we can each play our own part in those areas. And for me, one of the most exciting things that God's created, when I look around at the world and when I read the Bible, is diversity and difference. And I recently came across something which for me is quite an interesting but sort of challenging concept. And I'm just going to put the idea out this morning. If you find it interesting, there's a little interview on the Vineyard UK national website about this, and there's some more material out there. But there is this idea, there's the idea of using difference as a dialogue, a doorway to dialogue. Difference as a doorway to dialogue. So what do we mean by that? We mean that what we need to do is actually recognise and use difference, to embrace diversity, be it age, gender, geography, socioeconomics, culture, whatever. But instead of doing what we often do as humanity and shying away from difference and sort of collecting in our own little groups where we hold things in common, where things are comfortable for us, we actually need to look for and run for difference and diversity and use it to build relationship and understanding. And you know what? That, if we could even begin to grasp that and begin to pursue that and push into that just a little bit, I think we would see amazing things happen. So I've not time this morning to unpack that more, but if you're interested, I can point you towards some material. But it's something that I'm trying to actively do, particularly among my colleagues in the hospital setting. That is my mission field, the children's hospital. Beware if you step in there. That is where I spend a good chunk of my time. But I am particularly looking to build relationship out of difference. I'm looking for people that look different to me. And I just wanted to put that challenge to us this morning. But I know you want to hear from the ladies, so I'm going to move on to interviewing. I want to introduce some friends of ours. Come on up. Some of you will know them, because over the last few years, we've been supporting them as a church family. So something which we as a church, and indeed it reflects the wider Vineyard movement, actually do is, as God so generously gives to us through you, our people, we give away. So a proportion of everything that we get as a church, we give away. And a reasonable proportion of that is headed to Mozambique, or has been headed to Mozambique over the last few years. So these guys have had the opportunity to come back for a little holiday, a little break, and we're going to hear from them a little bit about what mission looks like in their context. Have a seat. So I think just start us off by telling us a little bit about yourselves, just so the people who've not met you in the congregation know who you are and where you're up to.
Hi, my name is Ali, and I am from Sheffield originally, so Yorkshire. And this is Liana, she's from Texas, so very different to Yorkshire. And we became friends in 2005 when we met on board a hospital ship in West Africa. We were allocated the same cabin. And after that, a couple of years later, we decided to move to Mozambique together and join Youth with a Mission there. And we've been there ever since. We have two children, Nas and Marta. They are Mozambican, and they came to live with us when they were 3 weeks old after their mum died. Their father is still alive, and he's a very good friend of ours, and he's still very involved in their life. But we wanted to, after their mum died, we wanted to work out how to help them as a family stay together and be close. As his other option was to put them in an orphanage a long way away. And as a Christian, he didn't have the support of his extended family. So we, yeah, we stepped in, and so they now have two mums, and yeah, their dad has more recently remarried, and so they have a lot of other brothers and sisters, and they live just around the corner from us, in Marameo, Mozambique.
Hi, I'm Liana. So, as Alison was saying, we're in Marameo, Mozambique. So we are right on the edge of the Zambezi River, and about 80 kilometers from where it hits the Indian Ocean. So our heart as a team, we work with Youth with a Mission there, and our heart is for the unreached and the least reached communities of the Zambezi River Delta. So as the Zambezi starts to hit the ocean, it turns into all these really narrow little tributaries, and there's loads of little villages on there. No roads to get there. So the main way that people get in and out is by canoe, and it's about a 3-day journey. We are based in Marameo, which is the last kind of town, I guess, that you would hit on the Zambezi before it starts to go into this swampy marshland. So there's a sugar factory there, and that's about the only thing that happens around there. And then we work also in Nensa. So in these three locations where we work with healthcare, education, youth work, evangelism and discipleship. We have a preschool and 2 years of a primary school that we've started out there. So we try and be involved in kind of all spheres of society in some way or another. So that's a little bit about what we do out there.
Okay. And can you tell us, we've been just thinking this morning about something about character, something about how you actually put love into action, and then this ability of then being able to portray Jesus through that and speak about him. I know you have loads of opportunity. Just tell us some of the ways in which you're doing some of that in the community.
So I think one of the ways that we're trying to put character into action is in the area of our healthcare school that we run. So as I said, there's a lot of communities on the Zambezi River Delta. You can, one of the main ways that we're able to access them at the moment is by helicopter, which is very exciting and very cool. But unfortunately, if it's not your day to be sick when we arrive that day, then you're out of luck. So we're trying to train up people from these communities that can actually be basic health workers all the time, even when we are not there. So we want to sort of support what they're doing long term. But through this course, it's like a 5-month residential course. So they come and live with us, and they see us put into action, saying that we care about them, showing them what compassion looks like, showing them that we're interested in their lives, in their villages, and not just coming and saying, all right, here's some pills, get better, go away, which is what they might experience in the hospital if there were any pills. I would say that I'm really loving how much you're talking about integrity today, because that was kind of our theme for the school. My students were kind of annoyed with me by the end, because every day, what's integrity, guys? Doing the right thing when no one's looking, and you know, just over and over again, trying to put this idea of integrity and trying to model that. So being humble when we make mistakes. If I get a bit shouty sometimes, having to go back to that student and say, I'm really sorry, what I did was not okay. And culturally, that doesn't happen a lot there. So it was kind of one of those things that I think helped people to see that we really cared about them, that we weren't just here with all the answers, but we're trying to actually show them that we love them and equip them to go and not only be health workers in their villages, but also to share God's love in their villages as well.
And I think the relationship between our actions, and the words that we say is something that we've thought about quite a lot out there, because really one without the other doesn't really work and doesn't produce the long-term kind of fruit or impact that you want it to. And so we've worked really hard, and the people in our team that came before us have worked really hard at building relationships with people, getting to know and understand the culture to the best of their ability. And I think that's been really important, to build friendships and make relationships, because you need to know the heart of people. And for example, you can train up a lot of health workers who can go and live in these places, and they can give out medicine, and it can be amazing. But unless the transforming work of Jesus is taking effect in people's hearts, people will still go to the witch doctor rather than the health worker that you've trained, because they're still living in fear and in captivity and haven't yet had Jesus work on their hearts. So we need to be telling people about Jesus as well as giving them medicine. We need to be praying for them and praying for healing and all of it, all together at the same time, not just one thing.
The whole package.
Yeah, exactly.
So could you finish by telling us a story, any story, something to encourage us?
Yes. Which one? I'd like to tell you the story of Antonio Maddalena. Because they're a couple that really excite me, really excite both of us, really. They live in a very small village called Rampa, which is on the Delta. It's very small, there's just a few houses, there's nothing there, no school, no clinic, no church, nothing. And a discipleship team with the helicopter landed there and began to tell people about Jesus, began to do small groups, began to pray with people, and they would go back and visit. And Maddalena and Antonio were two of the first people to respond. They gave their life to God, they burnt their witchcraft paraphernalia, and they began to lead a very small group of very new believers out there. And while they were there, they also got involved in an agriculture project that we were doing, and began to work with the rest of their village and grow more. So we could see that God was helping them in terms of providing for them, and they were getting a bigger harvest, and it was great. But they also saw another need in their community, which was this healthcare need. And they talked to us about wanting to come out and do the healthcare school with Liana and be trained as healthcare workers. But they didn't have any formal education. They can't really read or write.
And they didn't speak Portuguese either, which is the national. They couldn't speak Portuguese very well either, which is the national language, but not in our area. They speak Sena. So our course runs in Portuguese because we have people from all over Mozambique. But even that was a challenge for them, just learning in a second language.
Yeah, so we were a little bit concerned about how they were going to manage, because it is an academic course. And all of their friends and family and the chief of the village and people in their community basically told them, don't go, you will fail, you can't do it, you don't know how to read, you don't know how to write, it's not going to work. If you go, your children will be cursed, your children will suffer, you shouldn't do it. But we prayed about it, and we said, you should do it. If God is telling you to do it, you should do it. Come, and we will help you. And so they walked for 4 days with their little kids through water up to here, like it was very flooded at the time, with just a plastic bag with like a few t-shirts in it, not really even a full change of clothes for everyone. And they arrived at our training base. Like this, and they went through the course. It was 5 months long, and they had to work really hard. They had to have extra lessons. We would pray with them every night, and being out of their comfort zone brought up a lot of stuff in their family, and there's a lot of things to pray for, but they managed, and now they graduated. They did fantastic, and they're going back to their village where they're going to serve the people who told them that they shouldn't do it, the people who told them that they couldn't do it, and they're gonna bring life to their village and health to their village, where other people were trying to bring death and destruction. And so, as well as telling people about Jesus, which they do regularly, they're going to be able to show people the love of God. And so that for us is just a really, it's what we're about. It's just an excellent illustration of what we want to do and how we want to empower people.
Thank you. That was exciting, wasn't it? Yeah. And it's an absolute delight to have you guys. Take time at the end to grab some coffee, ask them a little bit more, catch up with them. And you guys are still around for a couple more weeks, aren't you? So if you're really interested to hear a little bit more about what's happening in Mozambique with YWAM, you know, grab their number or a way to contact them. We can put you in touch. And there'll be coffees and other things to be had, won't there?
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
We love visitors.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are at all interested in coming out, please talk to us about that as well. There's definitely something for you to do.